Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
So this is a newer song. And I just wanted to take a moment to talk about it because this song has been such a blessing to me, and I'm so excited to share it with you guys. Because, you know, even this week, it's actually been like 2 weeks of just kind of stuff like happening, you know? It's like one thing right after the other type of thing. And right once we got done with 1 week, I was like, okay, God, let's go. We got this next week, right? And I don't know if you could tell, but I'm like still extremely stiff. I like something happened with my neck and it like took me out for like the week. It wasn't until Friday that I could really even like do what I'm doing now, which is like move around, you know what I mean? Like, but you know, sometimes when we go through things, it's really great to remember that worshiping and claiming your victories in those moments can be so powerful. Because when you're down is when it can be the hardest. But come on. If we only worshiped when things were great, that's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to realize that the highs and the lows is where He's made us strong. It's not just in our up moments that we should be saying, God, thank you for all the things that you're doing. It's in our moments when we're down that it shows the faith that's within us when we're saying, God, regardless of what's happening now, and I thank you. I praise you for these moments because when I don't see what's happening, you do. Where when I don't understand what's being worked in this moment, you do. You know exactly what it is. And it's so important that we start learning to just abide in those moments. To just abide all the time. Regardless of the ups or the downs. Oscar's been listening to the song, and this isn't this song, but he's been listening to this song, and it talks about, what's really cool about it is that it's like a proclamation of praise. It really is. But it talks about like the valleys being made high and the mountains being made low, because that's the thing, is that really is what He does for us. He can change any circumstance you're in. A lot of times, though, what we have to learn is the abiding is important, because where we're just ready to get out and be done, He's saying, just listen to me. I'm just trying to give you something. I'm just trying to speak to you in this moment. And all you gotta do is quiet all the things you're wanting to do, all the things going through your mind, and just listen. Just abide right here in my presence, in my word. Oh, it's powerful, guys. Amen. It really is. There's so much in just such a small act of surrender, just abiding in what He has for you. You begin to see that that small act can change everything. It can change the course of a situation. It can change the burden that you're feeling. It can make it light. It can change so much for you. And all it is just worshiping, surrendering, just giving it to Him. You do what you're gonna do. And this song today is about that. It's about abiding. And I just want to encourage you this morning. Even if you gotta go walk and find your spot, just surrender it all this morning. Allow Him to do what He's gonna do. Allow Him to speak what He's going to speak. But just look to him this morning. Open your ears, open your heart, and just allow him to speak to you this morning, because he's got things for you. Hallelujah. Do you know that as you abide, as you go after him in anything that he has for you, you begin to reflect the Father himself? And that's what's awesome about this part. To be loved is to be loved by you. There's a lot of times that I know when you get frustrated, when you get irritated, or maybe you're just having a bad day, it's a hard time to be loved, right? But that's the point. As you start to go after him, you'll begin to see in moments where you decided to be like, ugh, now becomes moments where it's, you know what, God, it's okay. Because that's the thing, guys. Abiding brings transformation. As we spend time in him, it brings a transformation in us. It really does. As you just spend the time, the things that he begins to teach you, you'll notice that without even intentionally doing it, as he gives you things, he's actually weeding out other things. Because now he's giving you something to deal with, maybe a way that we do something, a habit that we've always had. Maybe it's even something that is like a vice for us, right? It's something that we've always felt like we needed, we gotta have it. And he's going, no, you don't. Let me replace that with me. Let me replace that, and I'll show you how to let go of it. I'll show you how to just it not even be a problem in your life anymore, because now it's just gone. Because the difference is where you went from focusing on something, you changed the focus to him. And that's exactly where we're meant to be. To be loved is to be loved by you. I reflect you as I go after you. Hallelujah.
Sorry. Just adds to my nervousness, right? Anyway, I was just thinking about how much when I was a little girl, I just loved to go to my dad's arms and just sit on his lap, and just anything would just be washed away. And that's how we should feel about our loving Father. We should just go to his arms whenever we're in trouble, whenever we're happy, whenever we're, you know, whatever's going on in our lives. And I know I wrote this morning. I was thinking of my friend who lost her husband recently. And I'm also thinking about my cousin. She's in bed in the hospital. And they don't think she's going to make it. So, but I know she's a Christian. I know she loves her Lord, and I know where she's going to be. So that's okay. But this is what I wrote this morning. When you're feeling low, like there's nowhere to go, and all of life's stress seems upon you, remember one fear: you are in God's care. Rest in his arms. He's got you. When you're feeling scared and by life uncared, not knowing what daylight might bring, look to the stars in heaven above and sing praises to God, our King. Sing and then cling to his arms and remember he's got you. It's so hard at times when going through our climbs to remember our Savior above, but focus on him and the pain will all dim. He's got you and you're part of his love. For Christ reached out his arms and died for all harms upon a cross that day. He took all our sins as he died, only to rise again. So accept his free gift and run into his arms, for he's forgiving and true and has his eyes on you. Just run to him and rest in his arms. He's got you.
Amen.
Good morning, church. This morning when I woke up, I was talking to the Lord, and all of a sudden this great sadness came over me. And I thought, what is this? What's going on? And the Lord showed me that too often we're not going to his word and we're not responding and knowing and having the knowledge of his word and being empowered by his word. And that, you know, now I understand. And here today, everything fell in line with the music, with the words spoken, is that we, our hearts need to be intertwined with the Lord. We need to be walking where he says, I want you to walk. We need to be seeking him to find out what are our gifts and then use them. Too often we have a gift we don't use. I mean, there's a lot of things that many of us can do that can reach a person. Sometimes it's making a difference in feeding a hungry person, because a hungry person won't listen to you until you feed them. Then once you feed them, they're going to understand why you did it. Anything that we do, there is a beginning and an end, but it has to be with him. Too often we know the word, but yet we're not empowered by it. We need to take those words and put them in our heart, because they can be here, but if they're not in your heart, it doesn't make any difference. There's so many hurting people. And the other thing he gave me was that we're walking in fear, and we've been walking in fear for almost 2 years now. And I want you to understand that God does not, he did not give us a spirit of fear, but of joy, peace, and a sound mind. And so we have to walk in that. Too often we let the circumstances around us just give us such sadness. And we have to remember, we can walk in victory. And we don't, as we're going through things, we're like, oh, poor me, I'm going through so much stuff. And then you repeat what you're going through to various people. Well, how are we showing our faith? We have to stand up, stand strong, have our countenance show that we have a word. We have Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow. We have to be able to encourage others, even when you're walking in your own turmoil. There's so much that he teaches us, and sometimes he's got a great sense of humor, because as I'm sharing with someone, he's talking to me. And I'm just like, okay, Lord, I gotcha. But sometimes he needs to do that in order to touch us and to reach us. So know that the word is there for you to stand on. Find it. Seek the Lord on what it is that he wants you to share with someone. Because sometimes you may not share the first time. It may take a couple of times of meeting with someone and sharing with them before they realize, oh my gosh, look at you. And then a lot of times they think you got it all together until you tell them your testimony and you show the redeeming power of our Lord. And that is so important, because he redeems us from so much. And it's not just a one-time event. It's a journey. So why shouldn't we go on that journey with him and go with his words and with his touch and find your gifts? Use them. Share them. God didn't give them to you to hide them. He gave them to you because he wants you to. And a lot of times we're afraid to step out, especially when somebody rejects us, because that's hard to be rejected. But you know, even in the rejection, the seed is planted. And maybe you'll never see the fruit of what you've shared in that word, but know that God can take that word and someone else will water it, someone else will fertilize it, but they're going to remember, you know what? Somebody told me about this. And there'll be times when people come to you and they'll tell you, you know, you shared a word with me and I rejected you. It's okay, because God's in it and it doesn't matter. And I want you to understand something about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a decision. It is not a feeling. And sometimes you'll never get the feeling. The thing is, we just have to say, I forgive in Jesus' name, and move on and let God release you and then release the other person. And it's okay. You know, that you're what you're walking through. You may never have a relationship again with that person. But remember, sometimes we come into the lives of people for a season. It's for that one little touch, that one little moment. So just know, be encouraged. Go to the Word. Talk to the Lord. Share with him everything. And walk upright. Have your countenance show that your faith is what you're standing on. And what a difference you're going to make, not only for yourself, but also for those that you touch. So just be encouraged today. Thank you. Amen.
Just continue to just savor savor the presence of our Lord. There's a sweet spirit that is upon this congregation this morning. There's a spirit that is reaching in the depths of your heart. Not only bringing healing to your bodies, but also to your heart. So just bless what he's doing in you this morning. This song is beautiful. We don't know how to love. If we don't receive his love, we'll never be able to love others. So Lord Jesus, we love you. We love you. We love you. We want to be loved by you, Lord. Show us how to love, Lord. Amen. This is the best part of the service here. You just guys went through the best part of the service with this worship. Where it says that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. And he's loving every moment. This morning, as normal, every first day of the month, we all participate in corporate communion. And so as you notice, the servants are going about passing out the elements. And on other Sundays, we have communion available in the back of our church so that you can enjoy that time with your family, on your own, however you see fit. But every Sunday, communion is available for this church. And one thing that we've said before, but I'd like you to remember is that we don't want you to think of communion as just a ritual. This is not a ritual. This is a time that as you look into your life, it's a time to come before the Lord and bring your burdens to the foot of his cross. And he tells us, the word tells us that when he at the Last Supper, that that we did this in remembrance of what he did. And think about it. What did he do? He gave his life. Gave his life for us. And so don't just think that this is just a fun thing to do on Sunday mornings, because that's the Christian thing we do. But these are just elements, symbols, but they represent a greater thing than what we hold in our hands. They represent what we hold in our hearts. And so, yeah, Steve got me going. Enough of that, Steve. You know, the Lord has different ways that he manifests within us. And some of us have been taught in early age not to cry. But guess what? God had different plans. I'm okay with crying. Okay. So it says that on the night of the Last Supper, that Jesus was with his disciples, and that he took bread. And after giving thanks, he told his disciples to take that bread, that this was his body. And that body was broken. That body was abused and torn. so that we could be whole. Please take the bread. And in the same way, he took the cup, which was a symbol of his blood, a blood that he shared, that he gave. And I've always said that from the time they put that crown of thorns on his head to the time that they nailed his feet, every drop of blood he gave for us. Please take the cup. And I ask that you just take a minute and just spend time, just a moment, spend time. And those things that are burdened to you, just place them at the cross and he'll take them from you. Well, I'm glad I got a tissue box here. Please pass your cups to the ends and the servants will pick them up from you. So, you guys like change?
No.
And I don't mean the nickels and quarters either. I mean the tough stuff that happens in your life.
Yeah.
Yes. Change can be good. And Word says that God's always doing a new thing. And so we look forward to those changes that come about in our lives. But also, maybe change may not be so good, right? I used to have hair. I used to have lots of hair, and guess what? That change kind of took it away, you know? I didn't used to have this taco capacity here. So that change wasn't so good. So there are things that we can see outwardly that change, that shows the change in our lives. It's inevitable. It's inevitable that we don't change in the way we look and may hopefully in the way we act. And so those are the things that we see on our outer self, you know, that young man with the hair and the thin waist is no longer standing before you. And so those are the easy things to look at. But what about the things that we can't see? What about the things that are within us? Who were we to who we are today? I want to, you notice that your bulletins have what we call the power verse. And we always try to put that in your bulletin as kind of the gist of what the message is about. And the power verse says, it is necessary for him to increase and for me to decrease. Amen. This is a word they were speaking, John the Baptist was speaking of. And John the Baptist was the star at that time. You know, people looked to him. He was the one that was leading the way. But when Jesus came into the scene, he says, I need to take my place. I need to let him increase. And this is what this sermon is about today, is to let Jesus increase within us and that we would decrease. Let's go to Ephesians 2, 1 through 7. And we have here, it says, and his fullness fills you. Honestly, I think if we just end the sermon here, we can go home. I mean, check that out. If his fullness fills you, what more do we need? What more do we need? It's the creator of the universe chose to dwell in you. I know a lot of times we don't see ourselves worthy to be dwelled in. We see ourselves as someone that has been such a bad person in life. Why would God want to dwell in me? But he doesn't see us that way. He sees the beauty that was created. Even back before we were meant to come into this earth, he saw us. He saw us, and he saw what we could be, what we would be. His spirit lives in each one of us. And I don't think we have the full understanding of that. I think sometimes we look at, you know, we hear that and it sounds great, right? But we don't have the full understanding of what is really within our bodies, in our spirits. This is the creator of the universe. There should be an awesomeness about what I'm telling you right now. There should be just an unbelievable awesomeness of what is within us. And so, what does that mean? When we accepted Jesus, we didn't receive just a little bit of him. We received all that he is. And so sometimes that in itself, the only way you're going to find out all that he is that you open this Bible. That's the only way that you're going to know what is within you. That you open your Bible and that by the guiding of the Holy Spirit that he would show you, this is who I am. This is his word. It might have been the disciples that wrote it, but it's the Spirit of God that gave him those words, that gave him the desire to write down those things that were in God's heart. And so I urge you, pick up your Bible, read about it, and then ask the Holy Spirit, what is it for me? One of the things that we always say in this church is that we should be independently dependent on him. Amen. And so that just tells you that what I, like Pastor Henry will say, is what we tell you might be a little different than what the Holy Spirit tells you. He wants to talk to you individually. He loves you for who you are, not for what we think you are or what your neighbor thinks you are. So depend on him. Depend on him to speak to your heart. Depend on him to give you clarity to the things that you read in that Bible. Depend on him to take you to places that even your pastors can't take you. So I'm going to read now, finish reading this. It says, and his fullness fills you, even though you were once like corpses, dead in your sins and offenses. It wasn't that long ago that you lived in the religion, customs, and values of this world, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm who fills the atmosphere with his authority and works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God. The corruption that was in us from birth was expressed through the deeds and the desires of our self-life. We live by whatever natural cravings and thoughts our minds dictated, living as rebellious children, subject to God's wrath like everyone else. I think if we all don't have to try too hard, we can remember we were all there once. Everyone sitting in this room today was in that place. And as the scripture says, living by whatever natural cravings and thoughts our minds dictate. It was all about us, wasn't it? As long as we won, then we were happy. Didn't matter if we hurt somebody along the way. Didn't matter if we pleased God or not. It was all about us. Whatever it was that this flesh desired, we gave it. And so our mind can be the greatest obstacle that the leading of the Holy Spirit's plan for your life. The mind is the obstacle. Wherever the Holy Spirit is taking you, that mind is going to try to tell you different. Most of us weren't in a good place. So let's go on. It says, but God still loved us with such great love. Regardless of where we were, God still loved us. Even in the junky place of our life, God still loved us. And do you know that God didn't love us any less then than he does today? There's no difference. Just because we're sitting here today and we could say, you know, we're doing good, we're being good Christians, we're loving our neighbors, and you would think, well, you know, God should really think I'm great. Well, he does. But his love that he had is no different today than it was when he dragged you out of that pit. He loved you just as much. The difference is that now, as that song says, we have learned to love him. We've just learned to love him more, and that's what makes the difference. Let's continue. But God still loved us with such great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy. Even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, he united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace. He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm. For we are now co-seated as one with Christ. Now we all have our story, our testimony of how God intervenes, how he intervenes in our life to bring us to him. Now I've heard many stories, many times the stories and testimonies that I've heard have been pretty drastic. You know, someone ready to take their life. And then but God. A marriage and family was falling apart. But God. Lost the job, was going to lose the home, but God. I was addicted to drugs and alcohol, but God. God's love is so great to not leave us where we are. Sometimes it may seem that he's nowhere to be found. Don't you feel that way sometimes? You call out, you reach out, say your prayers, and just seems like God's not there. But as we continue to seek him, continue to try to find him, we do find that he was there all the time. It is so beautiful when we stand here today and we look at our past history, if you would say, and we see all the times that God has been there for us. But when you're going through that situation for that moment, you're thinking, well, why not this time? But he's always there. He's always there. So don't let go of that trust and that knowledge that he has not left you. He will never leave you. On verse 7, it says, throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite riches of his grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. So if we are his visible display, we're the display of his fullness. So how are we representing him? Do we show his unconditional love? His forgiveness, his compassion, grace and mercy. That's where we find, as we see him in this beautiful book that was written for us, that you find all that he is, all that he demonstrated when he walked on this earth. Are we doing the same thing? Remember, we got his fullness within us. If we're not, then we're holding him hostage. His spirit just wants to flourish out to those around us. He wants to express himself through you, his dwelling. What an awesome vision to have. That we are going out into the world and we're saying, we come in the name of Jesus. And we're going to show you who Jesus is. Quite a thing to carry, but not if you trust that he's doing it. It is not you. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Okay, we're getting there. I'll read it up there. 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 18. It says, now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new person. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new, and God has made all things new and reconciled us to himself and given us the ministry of reconciling others to God. The Holy Spirit gives us new life. We're made completely new. Made completely new by our union with Christ and his indwelling in us. We're like little babies. Isn't that cool? When we first came to God, all that junk that we walked through that hindered us, when we said yes to him, he just took away that. He killed all that, and we were like newborn babies. What does the word say? We were born again. Thank God for that, right? So the old you is vanished, dead. And your mind will try to tell you different. So guess what? Just tell it to shut up. You know, you hear all these, you know that the mind is the only avenue that the enemy can have to come in. He can't get in here. This belongs to the Holy Spirit. And so he cannot come in here. But if we give him that little space in here, then he comes. Because he's got some, he's, what does he say? He's a deceiver. He manipulates. He knows how to work us. And guess what? He knows how to push your buttons, specific buttons that you have that I may not have. But he knows where to go. He knows what to do. And so when you start hearing all these thoughts in your head of things that you know are not godly, just tell your mind to just shut up. We may have learned to be selfish, stubborn, and arrogant. Anybody fit that? No. And that's just a few words of the things that because of our life prior to Jesus, that, you know, we learned things that were maybe not good for us. But that's who we were. That's who we became. Our environment maybe had taught us to behave in that certain manner. So only when we allow the Holy Spirit to renew, re-educate, and redirect our mind that we are truly transformed. It's like I said, we're like little babies. It's like going to first grade again, kindergarten. You know, if you're a child, you know, you're going to be taught how to eat, what to say and when to be calm or whatever. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do with us. It isn't just something that just started. You are being redirected. You are being retaught the right thing. All those other things that you have learned. Remember, you're dead. So if you're dead and you're born again, you got to relearn everything, right? Brand new babies. I like that. Maybe I'll get hair again. Come on, bro. Becoming like Christ is a lifelong journey. We're always growing, but sometimes stumbling. But Jesus is always there to pick us up. And we have to remember that. We may stumble, but we're never going to fall to a place that we cannot be picked up. He's there. He's there. Just like when Peter started sinking into the water, there was Jesus with his hand, ready to pick him up. He's always there. The enemy will try to convince us that we cannot and will not ever change. And there may be some truth. Maybe we cannot under our own strength. There are things that we can't conquer if we're going at it alone. But as the word said there, but God can. Man, his great love can penetrate even the hardest of hearts. A taste of his love will draw us to want more. And you saw that or you sang with that song where he is love. He is love. And to know his love for us makes us want to give it back to him. It draws us closer to him. There's just something about that name. So now I'm going to go, and I think Steve will get a kick out of this one, wherever he is. We're going to read four scriptures in the book of John. And I'm going to read them simultaneously here. First one is John 21, 4 and 7. Okay. And it says, then at dawn, Jesus was standing there on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize that it was him. He called out to them saying, hey guys, can you imagine Jesus saying that? Hey guys, did you catch any fish? Not a thing, they replied. Jesus shouted to them, throw your net over the starboard side and you'll catch some. And so they did as he said. They caught so many fish that they couldn't pull in the net. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. When Peter heard him say that, he quickly wrapped his outer garment around him. And because he was athletic, he drove right into the lake to go to Jesus. Okay, now we go to 19, 26, and 27. It says, so when Jesus looked down and saw the disciple he loved standing with her, he said, Mother, look, John will be a son to you. And then he said, John, look, she will be a mother to you. From that day on, John accepted Mary into his home as one of his own family. Now, John 21:20. I think that was the right one, right? Okay, it says, then Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the disciple who sat close to Jesus at the Last Supper and had asked him, Lord, who is the one that will betray you? So, do you see a little pattern here? Every one of these scriptures, and there's more in there, but this is John, and he always says, the disciple that Jesus loved. And you won't see these statements in the other Gospels, but this is John writing his story, writing his heart. And so when you write your own book, you can write whatever you want, right? But that's his heart. And we know that whatever is written, regardless of which gospel it comes from, you're reading truth. You can never say, well, maybe that's truth and that's not. This whole book is truth. And so however you read it, however you interpret it, the point is here is that John was saying the disciple that Jesus loved. He knew the love of Jesus. He knew there wasn't anything that he had to search for. You think about it. John was probably one of the youngest disciples. He probably saw Jesus not only as a mentor and a friend, but also maybe a father figure. He, along with Peter and James, always close to Jesus. He was with him at the cross. He was with him at the garden. He was with him at the Last Supper. And he was with him at the resurrection. Not to mention the almost 3.5 years that he was just with him, watching him when maybe he cried a little bit too, huh? And so the point being is that John was always close to him, always close to him. And so he knew God, Jesus' love. And when you get love, true love, like Jesus gave, it's not hard to give back. I'm sure John's heart was to, you know, there's no way that I can love you like you love me. And I hope that's our heart. There's no way that you can give as much love as what you get from him. But we can sure try. Amen. We can sure give. And keep saying, one day, I will give you more. Every day, I will give you more. So, I will tell you, if you want to know the love of Jesus, like John, Stay close to him. Stay close to him. I know that, you know, we've as I said earlier, we've all walked our times when maybe things weren't so good in our lives as far as our actions and whatever. But when you start seeing love coming your way, there's got to be change. You know, I can remember when I was single, and I could do, as I said, whatever my flesh desired. But then I got married, and I started having children. Such a difference in what was important to me. When I received the love from my wife, and I would get my little girls jumping on my lap and just unconditionally loving me, it wasn't hard to leave that old John. Other things became important to me, and I was going to take care of those things that now have become important to me. So the partying and the drinking kind of took a back seat to what I was becoming. Sorry. Let's go to 1 John 1. 1-3. And this is John still. And it says, we saw him with our very own eyes. We gazed upon him and heard him speak. Our hands actually touched him. The one who was from the beginning, the living expression of God. This life giver was made visible, and we have seen him. We testify to this truth. The eternal life giver lived face to face with the Father and now has now dawned upon us. So we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard about this life giver, so that we may share and enjoy this life together. For truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus, the Anointed One. Even after Jesus was no longer physically with John, his love had become even deeper. The love that he knew had become rooted in his heart. Might not have had Jesus there, but he can remember the times, the intimacy that he shared with Jesus. Like he says, he touched him. I saw him. Maybe he saw him preaching. He saw him heal people. He saw his compassion. And he saw him in the cross. Oh, that we could be like John, to have that deep love for our Lord Jesus. Oh, boy. I didn't think this was going to happen. But whatever he says, I'm good. Okay, let's go to Romans 8, 27 and 28. It says, God, the searcher of the heart, knows fully our longings, and yet he also understands the desires of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit passionately pleads before God for us, his holy ones, in perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny. So we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together for good. For we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his design purpose. In another translation, it says, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. And all may not always be pleasant. And we will face obstacles. There are obstacles that are along our journey. But regardless of what we face, we must trust that God is with us and for us. And he will fulfill his purpose for the good, even if sometimes we don't understand what it is that, how it is that it's coming to pass. Sometimes our ways of viewing things are kind of like the way we design how it's going to work out may not be the way God wants to make it work. And so our trust has to be in him, not in our prediction of the way prayers should work out. Just know that you are favored. Know that you are loved, just like John knew that he was loved. And, you know, Jesus loves all of you. But I got to tell you, I'm his favorite. And I think we should all feel that way, right? Amen. We all have kids, maybe grandkids, and they come, who's your favorite? What do you say? Can't say anything, huh? Especially if you got about 9 of them, you know. God loves you all. God loves you. But in the background, you know, I'm his favorite. Honestly, God has been good to me. God has really been good to me. I just thank him for even the opportunity to be standing here to tell you of his goodness. Thank you. And I hope that you all have that testimony. I hope that you all realize how good he is, how much he loves you. So let's go to Ephesians 1:3. And it says, Ephesians 1. Got to have just 3, right? Okay. It says, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord. We have, I'll finish it. All because he sees us wrapped into Christ. And this is why we celebrate him with all our hearts. What this tells us is that we already have everything we could ever need. It's already ours. And I like the way it says it, because we are wrapped into Christ. I mean, what a beautiful picture. It's not like he's standing here. We're so embraced with him and within him and around him. It's that presence that just wraps around us. It's intertwined with who we are. Cannot be separated. And so all that he is, so are we. The word says that all that Jesus now is, so are we in this world. We have all the gifts of the Spirit, and we have the power to do God's will. And as Jesus prayed in the garden to the Father, not my will, but your will be done. When God reigns, when God's will reigns in your life, there is order and there is overflowing of blessing. And that's what we need to allow him to do. Let him reign in your life. Let him be, let yourself, as I said earlier, decrease. Let him increase every day of your life. And now we can go to Romans 8:37. All this time, I didn't know what I was reading. That's a good place to be. All right. We'll read. It says, yet even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all. For God has made us to be more than conquerors, and he has demonstrated love is our glorious victory over everything. And I like the way this says it, because it says, it doesn't say just conquerors. It says more than conquerors. So you got to think that if God is in it, there's always more. What we envision as this takes care of the issue, there's always more. Sometimes we set limits on what God can do in our lives, and God has no limits. It is us that are giving him how far he can go in our lives instead of just saying, Lord, you take me as far as you need to, that I need to go. And so it is us that place those limits, but for God, there is always more. And when we chose to love his son, we won the heart of the Father. And so no situation in life can defeat us because he is the conqueror. He loves us too much to let us get beat up. He's not going to let you get beat up. Allow him to fight your battles. Allow him to be your conqueror. Let's go on. So now I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. Isn't that nice? I'm convinced that his love will triumph over death, life's troubles, fallen angels, or dark rulers in the heavens. There is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken his love. There is no power above us or beneath us, no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. This scripture should wipe away any negative thought that could ever come to you. If God is for us, who could be against us? No one. Every day of life is a gift from God. Our response to that gift should be, thank you, Lord. May I walk this day according to your will. Sometimes we choose to start our day with a focus on the problems of yesterday instead of focusing on how Jesus will take care of that problem today. Negative thoughts give way to negative outcome. In the kingdom of God, there is perfect order. And we must declare that order to everything that surrounds us. So, see yourself or your loved one free from addiction. See your marriage be whole. See your body healed. See your family restored. See it. Declare it. and receive it. What I'd like us to do, if anything that I said in my message has touched your heart, is there something, this message was about change. This message is about submission to the Lord. This message is about things that are happening in your life that you're not well with, that maybe you haven't turned over, given them to the Lord. And so whatever that issue is, whatever it is that you need change today, what I'm going to do, I'm going to pray, but I'm going to ask you just to stand where you are. If you need something to change in your life, if you need God to take those things that have become a burden to you, please stand now. And the rest of you, you think you're going to get away with it? Stand with your brothers and sisters and lay your hands upon them. Get up from your chairs. If you didn't stand to begin with, just put your hands on your brother or your sister that is standing. Father God, we come before you. Lord, you know the hearts even better than we do, Lord. Those of your children, Lord, that stood to ask for your hand upon their lives, Lord. Lord, we trust that this moment, Lord, there will be freedom, Lord, that there will be answers, Lord. Whatever the issue may be, if it's a sickness, if it's a family that needs to be restored, if it's a heart that needs to be mended, Lord, a heart that's breaking, you are the answer to all. So we ask that your Spirit, Lord, your Spirit would just flow. We thank you, Lord, that is because of your love that we receive healing. It is because of your love that we can trust that the things of yesterday must be gone. We look to today, Lord, because you are in our day. We will rejoice and be glad in this day, Lord, and all our tomorrows. Just receive. Receive and know that He is answering. Thank you, Lord. May the Lord's face shine upon each of you. May He bring gladness to your hearts. May He bring healing to your bodies, to your hearts, to your families. May He be gracious to you. And if you can, you're dismissed to go home.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.